looking at some of the older business owners when I first started and questioning certain things and like, oh, they're a little bit bitter. And I could see why over years now, dealing with what you have to deal with, you get bitter. But that's why I'm pretty pedantic around the structure I put in place to not burning out and making sure I'm as grateful and as joyful and as passionate as possible. I think when you lose the passion, like I always talk about my podcast, everyone I speak to, real estate or not, if you don't have that passion, this business is not for you. And just if I can encourage anyone to do anything is find their passion and just play hard to that.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, everyone, it's Sam here. Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we bring you insights from the brightest minds in real estate. Our guest today is none other than Gavin Rubenstein, founder of the Rubenstein Group and a true force to be reckoned with in Sydney's eastern suburbs market. Gavin's journey from McDonald's customer service to becoming Ray White's top salesperson and top principal is nothing short of inspirational. He's been a great friend to Elite Agent with all of his years in the industry, which I think is about 17 years now, and constantly setting new benchmarks still nationwide. So the thing is, though, Gavin is not just all about the personal accolades. He's passionate about mentoring and developing talent, fostering a culture of growth. And we're going to have a chat about that on the show today. So, Gavin, welcome once again.
As you said, huge, not only friend, but fan of Elite Agent. And it's always a pleasure to chat to you, Sav. How are you doing?
I am really, really well. And look, it was great to see you at our event, Elite Retreat, a couple of weeks ago. Did you have fun?
I had a ball. So obviously me and Mark McLeod, we did a Q&A and I got a lot of respect for that man. He's one of the greatest brains in the industry across the country, in my view. So, you know, we vibe off of each other and I hope the people who attended got some value out of it. That's what it's about at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think they all love listening to you. And I mean, I love listening to Macra. He could be singing the phone book and I'd listen to it.
Me too. No, he's a great guy.
Yeah, so the event was all about genius moves. Before we sort of get into the normal sort of Q&A for this podcast, we defined a genius move as being there's one or two pivotal things that you've done in your career which paid greater dividends than you thought that it might. Those one or two turning points in your career.
Yeah.
So if I was to say to you, Gavin, what were the one or two genius moves that you think you made early in your career?
Yeah, that was the topic of the conference and I was humbled that I got to speak at it because like I said, when I got on stage, I'm the furthest thing from a genius probably in the industry. But I mean, if we wind it back and we talk early days in my career, what created a really good foundation for me was really teaching myself how to love the prospecting side of the business. I think that was just paramount. And so that gave me an edge when I was prospecting and I wasn't approaching my daily tasks in a mundane or with a mundane energy. I was hyped. I was excited. I knew I needed to do that stuff in order to get to where I wanted to go. So that would have been the hard yards early on that I'm really happy I did. And then second part was I always treated profile like a business plan. Spoke at ARIC and really reverse engineered that concept. Spoke about how one of my bad mentors, and I've really learned my best lessons from bad mentors in my experience, but one of my bad mentors early on in my first office said, profile doesn't pay the bills, but it's always paid mine because I've treated it as a business plan. I've set it up on that basis. And if you strategically are mapping towards what you're trying to create, you can really have that in your business plan. So from day one, like literally day one of real estate, my name was on signboards and listings. And so those two moves, you know, really getting across and getting my head around prospecting and then always treating profile like a business plan and have been working on that since day one, right? Day one, which as you say, almost 17 years has now paid dividends.
Yeah. So I want to ask you again, like go back in time because you've got tens of thousands of social media followers now, not just in part to the TV show, although I'm assuming that some of it has been because of the TV show.
Sure.
What was it like to start with zero followers? Because we all start with one photo and zero followers. Do you remember what your first photo was and what was your plan when this thing called Instagram came around?
Yeah, I think it was like a photo of, like I had all these I used to wear these really colorful shirts. You know, I've always been quite OCD in terms of how I line everything up, present everything and have everything in neat order. So I had these like crazy colors in this order. And I think that was one of my first posts on Instagram when I had no followers. But it actually doesn't feel like that long ago. Like how long has Instagram been around or how long have we been active on Instagram? Maybe 10 years, last decade. So we all got to start somewhere. And I actually think it's harder to build a following today because consumer attention is not where it was. And Instagram is not this new thing. I think if anything, there's a decline in Instagram user as opposed to where it was when it started. I know myself personally, I'm not heavily active on it. Like I use it purely as a business tool for my own profile and to promote the properties that I sell. Outside of that, on a social level, you know, I rarely interact on it unless I'm looking at people who can help motivate me, inspire me, and use it for positive as opposed to just using it because I'm bored and have nothing else going on. But I guess you got to start somewhere, and that's where I started, like everybody else, and just play true to what I was passionate about. I wasn't trying to be anyone. I wasn't trying to emulate anyone. I was trying to build, like I say, a brand, and that tied into my plan of strategic, consistent action around building what a profile was. And it was just one of the many layers in order to make sure that you can build and create a solid profile. Like I've always said, I think in every conversation interview that I've ever had in relation to social media or profile in general, make no mistake, the best way to build profile is to do a good job for your client, is to make a phone call, is to get a really good listing, and is to sell a property for a great outcome where the client is extremely happy and they tell people about it. There's no better way to build your profile than this. The social media side of it is just a simple aspect. It's a simple layer. It can be done without it. And it's just a good way to expedite it and or find a way to stand out and go on a guerrilla level.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, you know, if you're an auctioneer, you've got to learn to add up before you can be funny. What you're saying is you need to learn to be a good agent before the social thing's really going to work for you.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I did a podcast myself with a guy called Peter Freeman, which should come out in the next couple of weeks. He's on the Forbes Australian list. He's a billionaire and just an all-round good dude. I really resonate with him. He's the CEO of Rode, you know, microphones. You see it everywhere. He's got an amazing story, entrepreneurial at a high level. And he said that he doesn't understand why people spend all of this money on trying to get new customers where the best form of advertising is just doing a good job with your existing customers. And that just hit, like it's simple, it's practical, and it's just, to me, it's what every real estate agent should adopt, right? Instead of trying to say, well, how do I go from zero followers to 650 or 10,000 or 20,000, it should be, how do I do a faultless 10 out of 10 job servicing the vendors I've got or I'm going to get and exceed their expectations at such a level to the point where they tell everyone about me? And that's the best form of building profile and marketing and advertising today, 2024, as we know it, in my view.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about the business now, because you and I have known each other for a long time. And I feel like I'm one of the few people that gets to say I knew him way back when. But tell me about the business now, because you, again, you've had a huge 12 months, like opened offices, Ollie's done amazing. What's been your proudest moments of the last year?
I love seeing Labor's hit 5 mil. It's rare air for a real estate agent to hit that number. It's rare. There are very few of them who have a seat at that table, particularly, you know, Australia. Then you break it down to Sydney and even in the East. And it's not because of the money, right? And that's the thing. It's never been about the 5 million being the number because we never promote that. We never speak about that. That's a pure reflection of his craft, his dedication to his clients and his growth as a practitioner over time, right? That says, hey, I know how to do this better than most. And what that is adding value to people who are selling their homes. You know, he's just an all-round good guy. So again, 98% of it was him. 2% of it was my contribution, my mentorship, my guidance. But him being my first sales associate 10 years ago and seeing him do that and continue to walk in his stride has definitely been a highlight. Hunter's Hill is a huge highlight. Ollie Williams, people know his story. If they listen to his podcast I did with him, he was sending me baskets of fruit, just begging for an interview or a meeting 3.5 years ago. And now he's a partner in Hunter's Hill. We were open there a week. We did our first deal at 8.9 2 weeks ago. We're about to put two new houses, both 12, 13 million on the market there. So seeing that growth and that future has definitely been a highlight the last 12 months. My own sales, still maintaining consistency. I've been at the same level 3 years, irrespective of how much I'm growing the business, how much I'm recruiting, what the market is doing. That's always something I'm proud of. Like, I never love anything more than I love the deal myself. Yeah, just off the top of my head, three top highlights and things I'm proud of over the last 12 months.
Yeah, congratulations. I mean, it's been amazing. And a new office as well.
Yeah, so last 12 months we moved into Rose Bay. We opened up Hunter's Hill about 3 weeks ago. I was saying to my GM just last week, because a lot of the guys, we encourage EBUs and building teams. And I think Zach's now got a team of 5. He did about 2.5 mil last year. Ollie's got a team of 4 and 5. And I was like, I said to my GM, I'm like, we got to just be conscious of how many bums we're putting on seats because we're about to run out in Rose Bay. And I was thinking it was maybe going to take 3-4 sort of years. So it's great to see the growth, but more so awesome to see people take the blueprint, the platform and the resources that I'm providing and really make huge successes out of their own life. Whilst I continue to do mine, how can you ask for more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that a big contributor to your success over the years has been coaching and education, and you're one of these people that just never stops learning. And I remember the last time we talked, or it might have been when you talked to Tim, that you were doing a lot of work on the inside of Gavin. What are you kind of in, you're always into something new and something interesting. What are you into?
I'm trying it all, Sam.
You're always pushing the boundaries. So what are the things that you're working on now in terms of yourself? What I'm trying to say, I guess, is that you're always leveling up. There's always something, what's next?
Well, I'm just chasing the next level all the time. And that's in all aspects. I think there's so many levels to tap into, and there's so many people who inspire me on a daily basis to show me what's possible, who lead by example and make me feel like I'm so far away. And so that's always very encouraging. I go to therapy once every fortnight. I find that super helpful. My therapist, she's mid-60s, extremely smart, knows nothing about real estate, but from a mindset perspective can say one or two things that can just put me in a great place of understanding, whether it be about my upbringing, my motivations, my reason why, where I'm at today, or just dealing with rigors of real estate or life. I find that really helpful. I'm always shifting things in the back end with regards to health. So I'm doing 4 or 5 days a week weights, 2 days a week Pilates, trying to rest a little bit more than usual. Sometimes I was training twice a week. That's been good. Keeping up with my regular holidays, keeping the main thing, looking after my vendors as best that I can, and kind of just doing my best with every minute of every hour in these days that I get, and being okay if that's not good enough for some people, right? Because all you can do is your best at the end of the day.
Yeah, and your best is going to be different every day too. So speaking of training, you're still training with your brother, because that looked brutal on Lux listings when you were training with him. I never want to go training with
him. He's crazy. No, that boy, he's built different. No, we do sort of different kinds of training. He doesn't do weights training. He's more calisthenics, more body work. I actually train with Jerome, who you know is my partner and PM, been with me a long time. We train in weights and then Pilates. I've got a private instructor. So just always conscious of what I put in my body, what I put in my mind. It's all correlated. It all kind of contributes to this energy game that we all play in real estate. And it seems to be working pretty well, like managing my burnout, which I've always done, making sure I take my regular breaks 2 to 3 times a year. They're not negotiable for me. Like, I was just in Europe for 5 weeks, July, because I was at the Elite Retreat. You're like, drinks is on tonight. I'm like, look, I'm not going to put myself in that environment because right now I'm not drinking. I just came back from Europe. I was drinking. I'm really at the focus zone. So I'm quite disciplined around that. When it's time to work, make hay while the sun is shining. I do my best to be as productive as possible. And end of the year too. Like, I see some of these guys, not so much in the East, when I'm away, who are just selling every day, listing every day. And I'm like, kudos to you, man. I'm playing the long game here and I want to be able to do this as long as I can see. I did another talk with Ivan Bresig not too long ago, who's a friend of mine now was a mentor in the early days of my career. And he's like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? You see yourself still selling real estate? I'm like, 100%. And he's a little bit shocked. He's like, you sure? I'm like, 100%. I've got the structure and I've always been religious around making sure I manage my burnout. So when I'm at the start of the cycle, like I am now, I've just had a break. I feel like it's day one and, you know, more passionate and excited than ever.
I was going to ask you about work-life balance because I know you do a lot of hours and things like that, but you've got a reason to balance work and life at the moment. I met her and she's lovely.
Well, she's sweetheart.
Has that changed at all, like your working hours or, you know, your approach to...
No way. I think she's always been so respective of my dreams and she knows I'm far away from achieving what I want to achieve. And so I think clear communication, I'm the furthest person from a relationship expert. I'm on the other end, a relationship novice. But I think particularly at the beginning part of our relationship, we've been dating 1.5, coming up to about 2 years. I've always been clear about work. It's always been about work. And particularly when we were talking before we actually met, this is my girlfriend, Holly, and I, she always would say that one of the things she really loved was like, no matter when she was talking to me, I was always working. Like, I got to go, I'm running to a point where I was in the car. I was, you know, I'm always on the go. So we're aligned in that sense. And it's just been good to want to be with somebody as much as I want to be with her. I think that's part of growing up, maturity, stages in life, having achieved and accomplished certain milestones, still far away from the whole list, but like I say, leveling up.
Is she tempted to become a real estate agent?
She would love to become a real estate agent. I got to tell you, she'd be fantastic too, but I need that separation. You know, people are different. For me, I couldn't do the work and the partner thing and then go home to the partner and have to work. Like, I need to have that disconnect.
Well, yeah, I can completely appreciate that. Not my situation, but I can completely appreciate it. Let's talk about real estate again for a moment. So obviously the market sort of feels like it's shifting again, you know, like coming into spring. What trends are you seeing in the luxury end of the market?
It was funny. I just left an appointment where a potential vendor, so not signed up yet, she says to me, she's been studying the market and she feels like the best way to describe it is schizophrenic. And I'm like, that's a pretty accurate way to describe the market right now. There are no patterns at all, whereas usually you can draw consistent patterns and make conclusions based on trends. You know, just we're not seeing that. Some things are flying, other things are going slow. I look at numbers and traffic through open homes. We got great traffic and we got great numbers, but the conversion is there. It's just very, very price related. So I hear people say there's a disconnect between the market and the owners. And I'm like, 17 years in the game, when has there not been? You know, you've got to create competitive tension. You've got to get people fighting. That's going to get you the best number. You've got to have a foolproof process and you've got to outwork the competition. I think if you do that, you'll be well positioned. So no different to how it usually is for me. Market goes up, I make sales. Market goes down, I'm going to make sales. If it's in the middle, I'm going to make sales. I've got a process. You know, I do the best for my vendors. And whilst the number of transactions or transaction volume may differ, sure, people are always going to need to buy and sell.
Yeah, that's very true. And I would say still, like what I'm seeing around Australia is, I don't know if I would have described it as schizophrenic, but it's definitely all over the place. You know, our friend Macca always says, well, it was like Hayman because a whole bunch of people couldn't get in because one of the planes couldn't land in the weather. And, you know, he just says it's just markets just like weather. You just have to prepare for the weather, no matter what the weather is.
And how do you do that, right? You've got to have a foolproof process, outwork your competitors. Hopefully you've built up a brand over the last 17 years that people trust. You know, when it gets tighter, like my phone rings more because in a good market where you've got new agents, everyone wants to be a real estate agent. This is the sort of climate that really shows people what real estate is about when it changes, when it shifts. Can you manage that turbulence? Can you manage the up and down? I can pretty safely say there ain't much I haven't seen in the real estate market in my areas anyway. You know, I never claimed to try and be an expert of markets outside of the areas that I focus in. But agents who have that experience are needed more. They're valued more. And so those new guys starting out winning business purely based on fee, if they're cheaper, and I'm definitely not the cheapest, or even the mid-range, probably towards the top end, those guys aren't getting the business right now. And if they do and they don't sell it, I'm getting it after. So,
yeah, I guess your brand is well recognized. And I think the brand has even developed even further since the last time we talked. Because I think you've got that little house brand now. And tell me a little bit about the meaning behind that symbol, because it's very interesting little house. And I know that there's probably a story.
You know what, my brand guys, when we did all of the collateral, just about creating a logo that was synonymous with what we do, and what better way to do that than a house? You know, Apple has an apple. I wish we were this much of the size of Apple, but TRG has a house. We're selling houses and we like to be recognized by that. So, you know, it ties in very well with our marketing and what we do. I like the look of it, but they gave me a couple of options. That was the one I picked when we started out.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so I'm going to ask you for some actionable advice now, because although people want to find out every detail about what's going on with you, I feel like we should dive into some value-driven stuff.
Would love to.
So, like a lot of people that listen to this podcast are always thinking about going into their own business. I'm sort of finding more and more that there are people that want to be a solo operator, or they want to step up your leadership or something else. So can you think of two or three things that if you were thinking about stepping up into leadership right now, or thinking about going out on your own, what two or three things you would do in the first 30 days to set yourself up for success?
I think a lot of real estate agents make the mistake of thinking that they're good business people when they're a good sales person. And I think we've seen, if history has said anything, they couldn't be too different. And it's really rare to come across someone who is a good business person, entrepreneur, and a really high-producing sales practitioner. So I think ask yourself what you want and why. It's always good to really understand what's the motivation behind wanting to own your own business and or be a salesperson. That's number one. Number two, build a really good group of people in and around you who are going to add value in places that are not your strengths. Right. So we just spoke about before this interview is Jared's been with me since I opened the firm now 5 years ago in June. I can't believe it's been 5 years. Remember our first talk about, like, that was 5 years ago. That's crazy.
Yep.
He's still with me, you know, and I knew I needed him in order for this to work because of his skill set not being my strength. I've learned a lot the last 5 years because I've taught myself. And I was just saying to him last week how much of a positive influence he's had on me and what I've learned from him. He's changed my life. But have a really good team of people there in order to do or manage certain parts or facets of the business that need to be managed. That would be number two. And number three, be patient. Be really, really patient.
Yeah, that's good advice. Okay, can you share a recent innovative idea that you've implemented in your business? And how did you decide that this was something that you wanted to go after? I think this is a bit of the genius moves theme again. So, is there something that you've done?
I don't know necessarily that it's innovative, but I've got a nose for opportunity, I feel. I can smell opportunity. I've trained this little buster to sniff out opportunity, whether it be in a deal, whether it be with a buyer. Now, so that's the autopilot side of it, right? But also in business, I think Hunter's Hill is just something I'm so excited by. I think Ollie Williams is special. You know, I meet so many real estate agents and I interact with them every day, and he's got the it factor. And I can tell you now, in the next 5 years, when we do another conversation podcast, he'll be dominating that market. In 10, it'll be his. You know, I just think it's untapped. And like I said, a year ago, we had a couple of really good sales there. And again, no disrespect to the real estate agents at Hunter's Hill, but we had some pretty good wins over them in the listing side of it. And then we backed it up with the results, which is the main thing. Like, getting the listing is 20% of the battle. 80% is getting the result. And we just got some phenomenal results. That compiled with just the people, the community there, which I like, the type of property, and him being passionate about working that area, to me is something that we've added to the business, which I'm excited by. And it is innovative because Hunter's Hill has been around a long time, and it's somewhat, to me, it's untapped completely. So yeah, that would be what we've done recently that to me is, or would be, advice to people. You know, look out for these opportunities. Look out for areas that you can penetrate, that you can break through, that you can build a name for yourself in, right? You've obviously got to have the structure, the tools, the people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I just feel like there's opportunity everywhere. And we talk about the market. You know, when the market's booming at a very, very high level, it's a hell of a lot harder to find these opportunities. So I would say the harder it gets, the more opportunities are going to be present. And flip that negative switch that most people are going to be saying or telling themselves with regard to their attitude and get excited to do this. I had Chris Helder come into the office and have a chat, who I love. He was like, flip the language in your mind. You know, don't look at your calendar and be like, I've got 10 appointments today or 10 open homes. I'm going to go from house to house and talk to 150 people. Don't say I have to. I get to go to 10 open homes. I get to talk to 150 people. I get to, you know, people have it tough, really tough. This is real estate. We're blessed. And if this is your chosen profession, understand the great opportunity in front of you and flip that attitude switch in your mind and go after it. Because I can promise you, not just Hunter's Hill, the competition, you can penetrate. That's for sure. That's from a 36-year-old who has done it in, you call it 15, 16, 17 years. It's not a hell of a long time. I mean, it's not a short period of time, but it's not like, it's not 30, 40 years, right?
Yeah. And I mean, look, this industry is really small too, right? I feel like sometimes we're sort of talking about the same people for the last 10 years as well.
Well, yeah, you said yourself, it's hard to find questions that I haven't answered or, you know, and you're constantly talking to the top guys, but that's also a reflection of who's moving and shaking the most. And then you look at the business and I always say, you've got 20% of the guys riding 80% of the business. Why is that? People should ask themselves, why is that? There is a reason for it, and I promise. It's not just by chance and there's no luck involved here.
Is it just hard work?
I think it's combination. I think it's combination of right time, right place, hard work, having a plan, having the right attitude, understanding sales, understanding marketing. They go hand in hand. And then the technical side of being a practitioner, like I've always said, actually understanding the skill behind what can help you drive that extra 5% in a campaign and the price. When you have that combination, you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
Look at everyone. Name a top agent. In my marketplace, you look at Josh Teslin. He's got his own style about him, right? Understands sales, understands marketing, and he's a savant in what he does, right? You talk about Marcus Ciminella. I couldn't give you two different examples of styles right then, but it just goes to the point I'm making, right? Understand sales, understands marketing, and he's an absolute whiz. Like, he knows his stuff back to front. Postavit. I mean, I can give you so many examples, and usually they have that combination, which is probably the rarest combination to have.
Yeah. A little while ago, you said that you've still got some pretty big goals and that you're not even close to where you want to be. So what is the next goal?
I want to get all these three offices right and humming. And that requires a lot in terms of recruitment because I've got spaces still to fill. Well, Lara's got 10 seats. Hunter's Hill is brand new. It's got a lot of seats to fill. Rose Bay, a few key seats left. I just generally want to be happy and play to my passion at all times. I want to be in a position, which I'm pretty close to, of, if I don't want to represent someone because they're a dickhead and they're going to drain my energy, I'm not going to represent them. Like, I want to be able to turn down business. Like, if I look at my last 12 months, I've done that. Whereas like 5 years ago, I'm not turning down and I'm taking as much as I possibly can. I want to work, people want to work with me who are going to drive my energy, and I'll kill for those people. On a social level, I've always had, you know, I like, when I go away, I like chartering boats and I like all the expensive fun stuff, and that'll cost money, Sam. So I'm always chasing levels in that regard, not to prove anything to anyone, but just because I personally enjoy it. Each person, individual, has their own things which they like. You know, I just, like everyone, I just want to be happy.
Yeah, and happiness is different for everyone, right?
Of course, of course. Honestly, when I'm hitting my goals and I'm doing my numbers and people around me are winning and the agent's doing well and everything's good at home, and like, life's good. Gratitude is something I've always struggled with, that I'm getting a hell of a lot better at managing. Like, before I took my break in June, I was pretty burnt out. I had a good 6 month stint because not just listings and sales, you know, my numbers are six and a half mil, have been the past 3 years, but I got to June and I was burnt out because it wasn't just the listing and selling. It was, we had our biggest 6 months of recruitment and growth, and I could add up everything. And I was just sat down with my pen and paper and I just wrote a list of what I was grateful for in the last 6 months. And I looked at that list and I was like, damn, shocked myself, because I'm going so manically pursuing what I'm pursuing. I don't spend enough time to appreciate that. So adopting those sorts of behaviors into my life, which are helping, and I am, I'm very grateful that I'm on the way to where I want to be. And time is the only thing between myself and achieving it, and thrilled with it.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, like someone said at Elite Retreat, I think you don't get the wisdom without the reflection. you can sort of do, but you actually don't get the wisdom without, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you look at real estate, to be a business owner and produce at a high level sales and listings, I think it's the pinnacle of what is the most challenging. And I remember kind of looking at some of the older business owners when I first started it, questioning certain things and like, oh, they're a little bit bitter. And I could see why over years now, dealing with what you have to deal with, you get bitter. But that's why I'm pretty pedantic around the structure I put in place to not burning out and making sure I'm as grateful and as joyful and passionate as possible. I think when you lose the passion, like I always talk about my podcast, everyone I speak to, real estate or not, if you don't have that passion, this business is not for you. And just if I can encourage anyone to do anything is find their passion and just play hard to that.
Yeah, interesting. So I have to ask you about Lux Listings. Is there going to be season 4?
You know what? Not to my knowledge. Yeah, I mean, nothing booked. There's always conversations, very casual conversations about it.
If they're getting the band back together.
If they want to do it, the producer who put it out is no longer at Amazon. There's some really casual conversations about doing something else with him. It's like anything else. If it's right and it fits and it's going to benefit the business, the office and the people who work in the office, I'm always going to explore it. So we'll see, but nothing locked in. And as much as I loved it, not mad about it either, because all timing, you only have so much energy.
Yeah. I've got a good title for it if there is one. How about Owning Sydney?
Oh, like Ryan Sir, that's one. I like Selling Sydney.
Selling Sydney. Yeah, actually, that's not bad either.
That's what I'll call it. Because actually before Lux, that's what they were going to call it. I quite like that. And then they changed it to Lux Listings because they ran their diagnostic tests or whatever they ran. Hey, if it's down, like I say, I'm gay. We always have fun.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for catching up with me today. I know you're a busy, busy man. And on behalf of everyone else, thank you for sharing some of your wisdom with us again. We always love having you on the show. If there was one thing that you'd like to leave everyone with or one piece of advice or piece of wisdom, what would it be?
I don't expect it to be easy because if it was, everyone would do it. You know, wake up getting ready or prepare yourself to get through the challenge that the business presents itself because it's going to. And the guys who win are the guys who get through that with the same vigor, with the same energy that they set out at the start. So eyes on the prize and best of luck having it.
Nose open.
100%.
Amazing. Kevin Rubenstein, thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. All the best.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.